I invite you to turn, please, to Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4 and continuing through verse 10. Chapter 1, beginning at verse 4 and continuing through verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. There is not a more scathing castigation upon Southern Baptists in our day than the fact that annually 1,000 of our preachers quit the ministry. Those who are studying this phenomenon tell us it is because of the time in which we live. The stress and the strain of modern day living is so great that many of the brethren simply cannot bear up under the load. I am convinced that the main issue and principles facing the preacher today are about the same that they've been all down through the ages. For example, in Jeremiah's day, God said, My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. In chapter 8, verses 5 through 12, Jeremiah tells us that the people were slidden back with a perpetual backsliding. They held fast to deceit, they refused to return. They knew not the judgment of the Lord. They rejected the word of the Lord. They had no wisdom. They were covetous. The prophets dealt falsely with the word of God. They said, Peace, peace, when there was no peace. When the people had committed abomination, they were not ashamed, and neither could they blush. I tell you frankly, God called, commissioned, and cared for Jeremiah during some difficult and trying times. And I believe that a consideration of Jeremiah's call, commission, and care can strengthen the heart and the hand of any man of God today. And so I call your attention to Jeremiah's call. In verse 5, there are three things about his call that claims my attention. Number one, I want you to see the sovereign prerogative of the Lord. Jeremiah did not get into the ministry because of his engaging personality. He did not get into the ministry because of his natural ability for public speaking. He did not get into the ministry because some dear lady patted him on the head as a junior boy and said, "Jeremiah, you're apt to be a preacher when you grow up." Jeremiah did not get into the ministry because he looked out across the world of his day and saw the great need for more church-related vocations. Jeremiah got into the ministry because God exercised his sovereign prerogative. I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, beloved, in this day, when Southern Baptists have established a criterion for the prospective pastor, which requires him to have 4 years at the seminary or at the university, and at least 3 years at the seminary, and 10 years of experience, we'd do well to remember that education never caused a man to succeed in the ministry. And the lack of it has never caused him to fail. Now I see two extremes in our educational process today. Number one, I see the man who feels confident that because of his educational background that he is now qualified to serve God and serve Him well. I want you to know, my dear brother, that when you have gotten all of the education that is available to you today, that will not qualify you to preach if God hasn't called you to preach. But on the other hand, there are many in our fellowship as Southern Baptists who for one reason or another have never had the privilege or the opportunity for formal training. And so they live their lives with an inferiority complex. They feel like that because they have not been the route of the educational system that Southern Baptists have, that somehow or other they are a second-class citizen in the kingdom, and that they'll never go very far or be worth very much. You see it in associational meetings. You see it in executive board meetings. I counsel the brethren constantly. I want to tell you, one of these extremes is just as bad as the other. If God has exercised His prerogative, if God has called you and placed you into the ministry, my dear brother, that qualifies you to preach. Now you know, I'm sure, that I believe in education. I support this school. But I tell you, folks, God's got to call you if you're going to preach. If He does not, if you do not have a deep, settled conviction in your soul that you have been appointed and anointed by the Lord I tell you, three things will happen. Number one, you will disgrace God in the ministry. Number two, you will disappoint the people that you serve. And number three, sooner or later, you're going to be disgusted and defeated in your soul. But when you come to grips with the reality of God's sovereign prerogative, that He has called you to preach, I tell you, you'll have a foundation upon which to stand. But now, having said that, I want to show you a second thing about Jeremiah's call. Not only the sovereign prerogative, but the sure predestination in Jeremiah's call. Now, I don't know where you stand in your theology. I know where you ought to stand. But regardless of where you stand, here is predestination that all the world can see and no one can deny. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Now, I don't mean to imply that Jeremiah had no responsibility in the matter, but I do mean to tell you that as far as God's eternal plan and program was concerned, He had already notched out a little place in the kingdom just for Jeremiah before he was ever born. God predetermined that he'd be a prophet. Now, I wish I could bare my heart and help you to see the encouragement and the strength that I get from that statement. I have been awake at night asking questions I could not find answers for. Have you ever done that? I have often wondered why I was born with my right arm only about 60% developed. Why, when I was 16 years old, did I contract peroneal muscular atrophy? Why, in a day when more and more demands are being made upon my time and energies, do I become weaker and weaker? And I tell you, there are times when I feel like Job must have felt, when he said, I wish that I could see God face to face and order my case before Him and demand an answer of Him. But in those moments, God's Holy Spirit begins to minister to my own soul. And you know what He does? He reminds me, David, God knew all of the circumstances and the eventualities that would be brought to bear upon you before you were ever born. And in His great redemptive plan of the ages, God determined before you were ever born that one day you would be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. David, regardless of your circumstances and the eventualities that bear upon your life, you have a part in the greatest business of the world. The King of all the ages has sent you on a mission in the world. You know what? When I began to realize that what I am and what I'm up to is not something that is temporal, that had its origin in time, but rather it had its origin in eternity past, in the heart and the mind of God. And what I'm up to today is not going to have its confirmation until eternity has rolled by. And brother, when I get to thinking about that, that'll help me to face the fiery furnace or the lion's den. And I'll tell you something else. Brother, that'll get you in shape. If you ever happen to be in jail over at Philippi, you'll be able to sing songs and pray to God at midnight. I called you before you was ever born. I'll tell you, brother, that'll give dignity and nobility to what you're doing. And now I want to show you a third thing. I want you to see the sovereign power of God in bringing about the birth of a prophet. Jeremiah was not born out of happenstance or accident. Jeremiah was not born out of planned parenthood. Jeremiah was born because the Lord formed him in the belly. I tell you, it was a high day for me when I realized I wasn't an accident or the result of happenstance. Now, I'm not sure about some of you, but brother, it takes the sovereign power of God to bring about the birth of a prophet. The call of Jeremiah. But now I want to share with you for a moment about the commission that Jeremiah received with his call. It is a comprehensive commission. The Lord said, "Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Now, several of the speakers preceding me have alluded to this matter of going where the Lord leads you. Many of the brethren that I know, if they go, they expect to go up to bigger and better benefits. And I'm not opposed to that if the Lord is in it. Do you know where I started preaching? I started my ministry at Snowball, Arkansas. God called me to preach when I was 18 years old. And God sent me to preach to 6 women at Snowball, Arkansas. And the treasurer's name was Miss Ike. Brother, I knew right away that I wasn't going to have a portfolio jam-packed with stocks and investments right away. But I tell you honestly, no one ever convinced me that I wasn't on a mission from the King, and that I was right out there where God had placed me. And I want to tell you, I never had any sense of inferiority out there. Brother, whatever inferiority I had, I got over it when the Lord saved me and called me to preach. I tell you, if you're going to serve God today, you had better make up your mind that wherever he leads, I'll go. But now I want you to see that not only was he to go where the Lord told him to go, but the Lord said, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, to use Paul's terms, Jeremiah was to preach the whole counsel of God. He was to preach the message of the Lord. The Lord said nothing about presenting philosophical dissertations on existentialism or transcendentalism. He didn't talk at great length about the sociological, economical, and political crises in the land. He preached the Word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. I tell you, many of the people in our convention have heard high-sounding phrases and theological cliches for so long, they are sick to their stomach. I heard a man preach in a conference some time back. He was to preach on the incarnation, the virgin birth of our Lord. He read those early verses in John's gospel, and here's how he began. Said he, the incarnation was John's viable option to contemporary humanity's emptiness. And he proceeded then to speak at great length about the cosmic synthesis. And as much as I don't like for folks to be looking around when I'm preaching, I caught myself looking around. And I discovered that about everyone else was looking around. And when he had finished, about all I could say was he had just flat missed the best opportunity he had ever had to preach to Arkansas Baptist preachers. He just flat missed it. Now, in this commission to preach, there is a negative and a positive aspect. Negatively, his message would be contrary to what was going on around him. In verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. Now that means that Jeremiah was to preach against sin, to reprove and rebuke and exhort. Now, my brethren, we are to be gentlemen. We are to be diplomatic and tactful. We are to be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But while we're doing all of that, we had better preach against sin. And now, if that's all you do, you'll never fulfill your commission. You can get up on a stump and condemn everyone to hell and back for wearing hot pants and mini skirts and smoking cigarettes. And brother, we ought to do that. But I tell you, if that's all you ever do, you'll never build the kingdom of God. And you'll never fulfill your commission. There's a positive aspect. Positively, what he said would be constructive. For he was to build and to plant. Now, I don't know of a better way for a preacher to do that than to learn how to do expository preaching. Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, and teach the Sunday school people how to do it, and the church training people how to do it, and anybody else that ventures to speak for God, teach them how to expound, expose, explain the Word of God. I tell you, often the brethren say to me, David, our people are so ignorant. They don't know whether the Lord had 12 disciples or 144,000. But I want to tell you something, folks. Here's what the layman said to the pastor. He said, Pastor, I can learn anything you can teach. And furthermore, I can understand anything you can explain. And brethren, whereas many of the fellows go around cursing the darkness, some of you ought to start lighting a candle. If the people are ignorant of the truth of the Word of God, who is to blame if it's not the men who stand to preach the Word of God? I tell you, you'd be surprised what your people could learn if you'd teach them. With the call, there came a commission. But now let me say a word about Jeremiah's care. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah did not enjoy the benefits that you and I enjoy today. He did not have Social Security or the annuity board. He didn't have someone with a background in psychology to whom he could turn when the going got tough. But you know what he had? He had a promise from an immutable God. I will be with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So Jeremiah began to preach. But like any prophet who preaches a comprehensive message, he ran on to opposition. The men of Anathoth conspired against him to kill him. Finally, over in chapter 20, the result had been so little and the opposition so great, Jeremiah showed up over at the Associational Missionary's office and resigned. He said, I'm not going to make mention of the Lord's name anymore. He gave the reasons for it. He said, I am in derision daily. My colleagues mock me. They wait for my downfall. But as he began to give the reasons, he also began to be revived and renewed. For he said, while I waited, the word of the Lord was like a fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Vance Havner says Jeremiah was not in the ministry. The ministry was in Jeremiah. I have learned in my own experience and from the Word of God, that's what makes the difference in my own life. The promises of the Lord. What word do you suppose burned like a fire in his bones? Now I know generally it was the totality of God's message to him. But do you suppose that in particular, in that moment of discouragement and defeat, that the word of God that burned in his bones was that word back over in chapter 1 where the Lord said, be not afraid of their faces. I will be with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I tell you, the best thing that can ever happen to you and to me is to learn how to live on the promises of the word of God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Thank you.
Amen. You know why I invited him to come back. I like that. How many preachers are here tonight? How many of you pay $3 for a real good sermon to preach to your people? Mid-America Theological Journal is on sale in our bookstore. For $3. And David Miller's sermon's in it. Some of you just writing up storm, I wanted to tell you, hold it. You can get it all printed. It's easier to read than you're writing. I hope you'll pick up these journals. If you're a pastor, you need one to help you to get ready for the teaching of Jeremiah. If you have a pastor, you ought to buy him one. I hope you'll do it. If you'll buy two, they'll give you one free. Now, if you buy two journals this year, last year, the year before, any one of the five issues that have come from our faculty, buy two of them, get another one free, whichever issues you buy. I hope you'll consider it. Because I want to see these journals out in the hands of folks. Now, they're not just for preachers, they're for lay people. I hope you'll get one. It'll help you in the study of Jeremiah. Great wisdom from God through these men that he's given us here. It's always a special joy and privilege for me to present my pastor. I like to tell people I taught him in the seminary. Sounds good, you know. And I did. Dr. Beeman did.